Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
The text we are currently studying toward the end of 1 Peter, it's actually chapter 5 and verse 10, is good news for those who are suffering. And to some extent, that's every one of us who are listening to the broadcast today. Good news for those who are suffering. Here's what it says. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is good news for those of you who are suffering. It's good news because of the one who made the promises, namely Almighty God. It's good news because of those to whom the promises are made, namely followers of Jesus Christ who are suffering. Do you fit into that category? It's good news because of what God has promised. And we saw on the program yesterday that the first promise that God has made to us is that our sufferings are temporary. They are only for a while. God has appointed a termination point, and they will conclude, and when they do, they will be over forever. They will evermore be behind us in the past and no longer be a part of our present or our future. That's good news for those who are suffering. But there's more good news to come, and we'll look at some of those things on this Friday, August 1, as we gather together around the Word of God, enabled to do so by radio listeners who financially support the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you so very, very much. Well, what has God promised? Number one, that our sufferings are temporary. Number two, that our sufferings are purposeful. They have a purpose. They are appointed by God. And because of the very nature of God, God does nothing without purpose. And furthermore, Scripture explicitly tells us that. Romans 8:28 is one of the best known verses in all the Bible. And that's what it tells us, that our sufferings are not without purpose. When we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called, listen to me, according to his purpose. And God works everything in our lives for a wisely designed purpose. God does nothing by chance. God does nothing randomly. And nothing catches God by surprise. And the sufferings that have come into our life have not come by accident. They have not come by satanic opposition that overcame the better intentions of God. What foolishness, what nonsense, what an unbiblical God that would be to think that Satan could overcome the desires and purposes and plans of God. Oh, I've told you so many times, but it bears repeating here. Years ago, when I was in the hall of a large hospital, and I overheard a hospital chaplain talking to a visiting minister, and one of them said to the other one, "Well, I hope you didn't tell them that this was God's will for them." And the other one said, "Oh, no, no. I told them that God didn't plan this for them. This came from Satan." And I'm walking by this and hearing it as I'm walking down the hall. And I thought, well, that's great comfort to tell somebody that Satan is more powerful than God, that Satan is able to thwart God's purposes, that even though God has nothing but kind and gracious plans for you, that we can't count on them because Satan is strong enough to overcome the purposes of God. Well, I want to tell you, that's not the God of the Bible, and that is no comfort or encouragement. But I'll tell you what is comfort, knowing that our sufferings are purposeful. Yes, they are difficult, but they are not without a purpose, a good purpose, a grand purpose. God has something good in store. He takes the things that are temporarily difficult and painful, and He brings greater good out of them. Now, I well know that in the midst of difficult suffering, it's hard to see that sometimes. It's hard to imagine that. I told you on the broadcast yesterday, the one time in my life that I can remember that I was ready to die. I preferred my life to end than to continue the level of suffering that I was enduring any longer. But thankfully, God brought me out of that state of mind. God used my dear wife to do it. And when I look back upon what was incredible suffering at the time, I realized, number one, it wasn't as bad as it seemed. It was bad, but it wasn't as bad as it seemed. It's good to get everything in perspective, but what is even more important, I realized so many of the good things that God did during that time of suffering that could not have been accomplished in my life any other way. I know that. And I'm sure there are many other things that I have yet to learn about, many other things that God was doing that I still don't understand, but I will someday. But this much I know, that there has not been the slightest occasion of suffering in the life of any of God's children, but what it was placed there by a loving God, a kind and loving and gracious Heavenly Father, who brought that into the life of His dear child, for a kind and gracious purpose. A good parent, a loving parent, does not spare his child all suffering. In fact, a wise parent will at times deliberately inflict suffering upon a child for their good, for their education, for their understanding, for their discipline. That's necessary for them to become the person that God wants them to become, for them to become the person that you want them to become. Is that cruel for a parent to do that? No, that's kind and wise and gracious and loving. It's actually more cruel to refuse to do that. Parents who just can't bring themselves to discipline their children, that would be so unkind and so cruel, have it exactly upside down. The cruelest thing you can do is to fail to correct them, to fail to discipline them when they need it, to fail to teach them and help them to grow and learn and understand and acquire those characteristics which will make them a blessing to others and a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. A bad parent shelters their child from those things. A good parent, though it hurts the parent to do so, will wisely introduce those difficulties alongside a great deal of love and affirmation and encouragement and hugs and rewards and all the good things that parents like to do to their children, but they will realize that the painful discipline is just as much a part of an expression of their love and concern and parental wisdom and parental responsibility as are the other things that they would enjoy doing more. And do you think God, our Heavenly Father, is any different from that? Every occasion of suffering is purposeful. But there's more. What else has God promised? Number one, that our sufferings are temporary. Number two, that our sufferings are purposeful. Number three, that our sufferings are divinely helped. God will help us. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God will do it. God himself will do it. It's emphatic in the original language. This tells us that God is personally involved in carrying out four activities, four verbs that are used that are close synonyms. They're all future tense. They deal with our future in regard to time or our future as we step into eternity. But God himself will, number one, perfect, number two, establish, number three, strengthen, and number four, settle you. Let's look at these verbs more closely. God himself, personally, will perfect you. That's a word that means to restore you or make you complete. It means to make you whole by ordering and arranging everything in your life properly. God will restore you by putting right the things that are wrong. You do agree that there are a lot of things in your life that are wrong, don't you? You do agree that because you are by birth a fallen son or daughter of Adam, that there are a lot of things in your life that are not what they ought to be. A lot of things in your thinking that are not what they ought to be. There are a lot of things that need to be changed, that need to be made right. And they don't happen instantaneously. They happen gradually over time as God rearranges our life, rearranges the furniture in our life, rearranges the thoughts in our mind to cause us to think in a godly way rather than in an ungodly way, to think in a godlike way rather than in a human way. That's what God is doing. He is involved in doing that. Emphatically, he is involved in perfecting us, restoring us, making us complete. That word perfect is used in the Bible of mending nets. God will mend the broken nets of your life. It is used in the Bible of setting broken bones. God will restore the bones that are broken in your life. Broken by sin, broken by the circumstances of your life. It is a word that means repair all the damage that sin and suffering have brought into your life. And God will do that. God promises to do that. And God will completely do it. He won't start a project and then fail to complete it, like we so often do in our lives. God will perfect all the way to its completion and final and perfect end, everything that he has begun in our lives. God promises to do that. May the God of all grace, who called you or called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect you. God is involved in doing that. He promises to. Praise his holy name. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.